Okay. I want to read a little bit behind. Verse 18 of chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians. And I want you to see how all this flows together. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Now listen to that. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Why is it foolishness? You know, because all those who are perishing, all they hear is a bunch of words. To those who take it and receive the message in faith, they hear the Holy Spirit underneath that, more than the words, don't they? The Holy Spirit backing up the words in their heart, making it living water in their heart, saying, this is true. The Holy Spirit backing up the word. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, that's the power we're talking about then, isn't it? The power of the Holy Spirit to make the word living water in you. Now, please hear this. That is the power of God we're talking about. We're not just focusing on the power to do miracles, or when somebody's preaching a miracle happens. We're talking about the power at work in you. How many of you can see that? Let me read it again. For the message, the power is in the message, and we're going to confirm this with what Paul says here in a minute. The power, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, the power of God is the power of the Holy Spirit to make that word, that message, living water inside you. Is that true or not true? Is that not the power we're talking about? Y'all tell me. Is the power of the gospel the Holy Spirit making the word alive in you? All right. Remember that. It's going to be important. That's the power we're talking about. So I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. It's not according to a man's understanding or a man's intelligence as carnal. It's according to the power of God at work in you. The mind of Christ, therefore, is the Holy Spirit. Mixing with the Word. That's how the mind of Christ comes to exist in you. Right? The Holy Spirit coupling with the Word to make it real in you. Isn't that how you take on the mind of Christ? Through the Scriptures and by the Spirit? That is both the power of God at work in you, and that is both, and that is also the wisdom of God at work in you. That is the mind of Christ. How many of you agree with that? The mind of Christ is when the Holy Spirit comes together with the Word in you. That's both the power of God and the mind of Christ in you. Amen? Where is the wise man? Know what it means by where is the wise man? Where is the wise man? In other words, where's the man that can argue with God? Where is he? Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Isn't that what it's asking about? Where is that philosopher? Where is that wise man? Where is the man who can contend with God? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. Now listen. Since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. You cannot, through the wisdom of this world, come to know the mean things of the Spirit. They have to be revealed by the one of the Spirit, who is God. Remember where Jesus said in John 4? God is a Spirit, and He seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth is the coupling of the Word and the Spirit together, isn't it? The power of God in you to make this message real. It's not just words. It's foolishness. It's just words to those who can't hear it. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. It's by faith. Jews demand miraculous signs, things you can see. Greeks look for wisdom. You know, they call it wisdom when it only comes from a carnal mind who's corrupt. Can you trust the wisdom of a carnal mind? That's the whole point. And all men have carnal minds apart from Christ. You can't. So they depend upon men. And they depend on things they can see. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Notice how it says it. Now again, we're going to focus on those two things. Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. The power of God is the Holy Spirit making the Word real inside you, making it living water. The wisdom of God is the mind of Christ when the Word and the Spirit come together. Christ, you see that? Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. In both cases, the power and the wisdom are Christ. And it is the Spirit joined with the Word in both cases, isn't it? True or not true? You've got to remember this, because we're going to talk about this power. True or not true? Christ, the wisdom of God, and Christ, the power of God, is about the Word and the Spirit coming together. That's the power of God, to make living water in you, quickened through the Spirit. And the mind of Christ that you put on when the Word of the Spirit come together. All right. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So when God pours all this power and wisdom in somebody that the world considers to be less, then He shows that the strength comes from Him, doesn't He? He shows that the power comes from Him. Now, a companion verse to this is in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this power in jars of clay. We have this all-surpassing power in jars of clay that it may be seen to have come from God and not from ourselves. You see that? That's saying the same thing, isn't it? He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things that of this world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. By putting this treasure in jars of clay, He shows that the all-surpassing power is of Him and not of ourselves. He chose the lowly things of this world to demonstrate His power, because it's His power. It ain't you, it's Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, because you can do nothing of yourself. Now, so our dependence is upon the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that's where the Holy Spirit makes, through faith, makes the Scriptures real in you, the Word real in you. So he goes on to say, now listen to what Paul says. We're going to hear this same thing again. When I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom. I didn't come with the way this world would approach you as some great man. I didn't come to you, brothers, with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's strong, I'm weak. Get it? I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. Now notice, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Notice now what he's talking about there is not about the power of miracles. It is exactly what we talked about before. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit joined with the Word to make it real in you. The Holy Spirit joined with the Word to give you the mind of Christ. So his message and his preaching, that's what God empowered. Huh. That's what God empowered, his message and his preaching. Because he spoke the Word, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive. Listen to what he says. I came to you in weakness and in fear, with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That demonstration happened in the hearts of his hearers. The power of the Spirit to make the Word real in them. So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, men's intelligence, men's ideas, but on God's power. The power to make that Word alive in you. Revelation. The difference between the Logos and the Rhema. To make that Logos Rhema in you. Alright? We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. But not the wisdom of this age. Not the intelligence of men. Not the ideas of men. Not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Remember what it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The secret wisdom is that message that to them is foolishness. The secret wisdom that's spoken among the mature is where the Holy Spirit makes the Word living water in you. Where you have revelation from Christ through the Spirit, not just relying on your intellect to discern the words, what they mean. None of the rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, now hear this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. See, the Spirit is what empowers the Word in you. Right? No carnal ear has heard it. No carnal eye has seen it. And no carnal mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed it to us. How? By His Spirit. So people who are just carnally reading, you've heard that principle, sola scriptura, by the Scriptures alone? That's a lie. It's not true. It's not by the Scriptures alone. It's by the Spirit, the power of God making the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, making the Word living water in you. You see that? The Word and the Spirit must come together for you to have the mind of Christ. So you're not speaking out of your own mind, or the wisdom of this world, or the intelligence of a carnal mind. You're speaking by the Word and through the Spirit. Together, the power of God at work in you to redeem you is the Word quickened through the Spirit. The Spirit, now hear it, searches all things, even the deep things of God. Ooh, and that's capital S, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, who among you can tell what another man is thinking? You can't, can you? Only his spirit knows what he's thinking. In the same way, you know, and if that man don't tell you what he's thinking, you don't know. You may think you know, but you don't know. In the same way, no one can know what's on God's mind unless he reveals it. And that's the power at work in you, the Holy Spirit, to search the deep things of God and to make them alive through the Scriptures. That's what he has to work with, to quicken. As Jesus' body was quickened through the Spirit to be raised from the dead, so the Word is quickened by the Spirit in you and raised. That's how it works. And that's why the preaching of this gospel is foolishness to the world. Because all they hear is the words. That's all they hear is the words. But we hear the Spirit giving us revelation of what the words mean. It comes alive in us and becomes a part of us. You see the difference? And without the Spirit to quicken that word would remain dead in your heart. Take Paul the Apostle, the very one who's telling you these things right here. And we're going to read some more of what he says, but take what he said earlier. What I received by revelation of Christ, Galatians 1. No man taught it to me. No man taught it to me. I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Now think of it. Paul knew the Word. He knew the Torah. He knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He even tells you he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. As to legalistic righteousness, perfect. He knew the law. But it was all dead in him. And that's all the Word is apart from the Spirit. Dead in you. But when he met Jesus, that Word became living water. Huh? When he met Jesus by the Spirit, that Spirit activated that Word. And through that understanding and revelation, he was able to not only understand who Jesus is, but lay down the rules and doctrines for the church that we still use today. It became more than just head knowledge. It became heart knowledge. Through a real relationship through the Spirit with God. A connection. So, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The power of that Spirit in the Word, in you, is to, so you may freely understand what God has given you. Understand. Understand. Revelation. Understand. Now, is God just going to tell you a relative truth? Or is the truth you receive in that understanding going to be the same for everybody? It's going to be the same for everybody. God tells you what it means. He doesn't give an interpretation of that scripture to one person and a different one to another that contradicts, does he? It's one truth. So we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. One Spirit, one faith, one baptism. That we may understand what God has freely given us. And this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. That's the foolishness of preaching men see. No power in a man's words to change you. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That means you can read the Bible all you want. You can read and study the law all you want. But without the Holy Spirit to make it real for you, you're going to remain in darkness. If the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken the Word in you, in the same way that the Holy Spirit quickened Jesus' body to raise from the dead, then you will remain dead. The Scriptures are not enough. It takes the power of the Spirit to quicken them. They work together. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them. Not just will not, cannot. Because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Why? He's enlightened through revelation of Christ. He's put on the mind of Christ. He has the power of God working in him to make that word living water in him. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the wisdom of God is about the mind of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit joined with the Word in you. The power of God is about the Holy Spirit quickening the Word in you. So the power of God and the wisdom of God are the same thing. It is the coupling of the Spirit and the Word together in you that your faith might rest upon words alone, but the power of God. And it takes them both. The Holy Spirit does not speak apart from the Scriptures, and the Scriptures do not speak apart from the Spirit. They speak together as one. And it is a living speaking. It is a life speaking. It's not just words. To the men of this world, that's all it is, this gospel, because they can't hear it. The carnal man does not receive the things of God, does not receive the things from the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. And you can't hear it. You can't hear it. Only those by receiving that implanted word through faith and letting the Holy Spirit raise that word that was planted, even as Jesus was planted in the tomb and raised by the Spirit into eternal life, his body changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, so that word planted in you must go through that revelation, that raising in you by the Spirit. So the word is just not planted, but it's raised by the Spirit. Jesus didn't just die for you, he rose again. They must come together as one in you for you to have a solid testimony about Christ. Because it's the only way you can testify to him. It's the only way you can come to know him. You can read the Scriptures and learn things about God. You can prayerfully read the Scriptures by the power of the Spirit in you and come to know God. And that is what we speak in words taught us by the Spirit, speaking spiritual words in spiritual terms, and the carnal mind cannot receive it. And that's why I can stand here and speak as an oracle of God by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and to become living water in your hearts. But if I was just to speak out of my carnal mind, it would be nothing, because I, apart from God, are nothing. If I just tried to reason with you from intellect, it would be nothing. There's no power in me or in my persuasive words. The power is the Holy Spirit in your heart to make that word real, to lift it up, to lift what was planted to life, so that you may freely understand what God has given you. That is how we should speak. And if we cannot speak in that way, then we have nothing to share of Christ.